Grace and peace to you who are beloved of God. Amen. Today's story in the gospel picks up almost right at the end of last week's story. Jesus had just fed the multitudes with what seemed to be only a few loaves and a couple of fish. The disciples had been skeptical. They didn't quite trust the idea at first. I think that's probably more like how we would have responded. I mean, sure, feeding even 50 people takes a certain degree of planning, much more the case for 5,000. But Jesus blessed the bread and broke it and gave it to the people to eat. The story doesn't recall whether the people asked, "Where did all of this bread come from? How in the world did Jesus do this?" They just ate, probably because they were hungry. But after they ate, the story in John's gospel says that some of them recognized the miracle, or sign, as John often puts it, the sign that had taken place. And it says that they recognized Jesus as the prophet who is to come into the world. And they pressed in on Jesus and wanted to make him king. But Jesus outsmarted them and slipped away into the mountains. And even the disciples apparently didn't know where Jesus had gone, because they got into a boat and headed out across the lake to the other side of the sea. But it seems that every time these disciples get themselves in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, something bad happens and they almost perish. Sure enough, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and although even the image of Jesus on the water is enough to scare the pudding out of them, it's either Jesus' words, "Don't be afraid," or the fact that they suddenly make it to the shore that calms their nerves, and they set up camp for the night. All of that happened in last week's story. Now today, as we begin again, morning has dawned, and this same crowd that had wanted to make Jesus king somehow discovers that he's crossed over to the other side, and they jump into some boats of their own and race across the water to find Jesus. So this is the scene. The crowds of people has pursued Jesus, chased after him, hunted him down, but somehow they perceive in Jesus something that will change their lives. Maybe it was the bread and the fish. I mean, it seems like kind of a meager meal to you and me. But if they were truly that hungry, maybe they hoped that they would get another serving this day. Maybe they hoped that this could be the new reality, Jesus providing food for them every day to eat at their leisure as they sat on the hillside. Or maybe they had heard about Jesus' ability to heal the sick and cast out demons. Maybe they still had problems of their own, either their own or their family or friends. Maybe they hoped that Jesus could address and maybe even cure them. Either way, this crowd sees in Jesus some kind of game changer, some life-altering persona who will fix their problems and make everything in their lives better. They've already begun to claim Jesus as their own. They've taken possession of Jesus as their personal Savior, and they're determined to exploit him for whatever good they can squeeze out of him. Isn't this the way we always do things? We're hardwired, it seems, to search for that next product or program that will make everything easier. The washing machine promised to give housewives across the country the extra time they need to rest and relax. The personal computer said that it would make number crunching and calculating figures longhand obsolete. And think of all the paper it would save. Cell phones and laptops claim to free us to roam the world and still be within reach of those who need to control our lives. We're always looking for the next fix. The one thing that will take away the toil and suffering of life and set us free to enjoy the world and every beautiful thing we desire. If I could just get that next promotion. If I could just move into that house that's a little bit bigger. If I only didn't have to pay these darn bills. If only I could win the lottery. I suppose if Jesus wandered into our little community and healed some of our sick friends and relatives and cast out demons, I suppose if he set the corrupt politicians and religious people straight and spoke of peace and goodwill for all, if he gave us a free lunch, meager bread and fish as it might be, I think we'd try and talk him into staying here and making everything better too. Maybe even make him a king. King of Kalispell. You know, the superhero movies that are popular these days, they kind of play off these same themes, don't they? Whether it's Iron Man or Superman or Captain America, Wonder Woman, at first everyone is overjoyed to have them as protectors of their communities, as saviors, of givers of all good things. They're given God status. Statues are erected, monuments and shrines and holidays dedicated to these who would make our lives everything we ever thought they should be. But eventually, after the first throngs of love and wonder wear off, after everyone settles into a new reality of perceived security, the superhero sheds their God persona. They may not be perfect in every way. They may even make some mistakes, tragic mistakes, even. Such is the case with every latest fad or product that we put our faith in. I thought this pill was going to make me skinny. I thought this promotion would make me happy. I thought if only I got out of my old relationship and into a new one, I'd certainly know what true love really is. The crowd that followed Jesus to the other side of the lake seems to think that if only Jesus can fill our bellies every day, then all of our worries will be gone, all of our problems will be fixed. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus said, you are looking for me because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures, for abundant life. In this little phrase, and in the conversation that ensues between himself and the folks who know their faith, they know their religious history. Jesus tries to show them what his food that endures for abundant life is all about. Tell us what kind of work we must do to earn this bread, they say. No, Jesus says, it's not the kind of work, it's not the kind of food you work for, but the kind that God freely gives. Well, then show us a sign that you do to assure us that the bread is coming, they say. Give us a sign like Moses did in the wilderness with the manna. No, Jesus says, Moses didn't give your ancestors food. It was God who gave it. Whatever it is, Jesus, they say, give us this bread always. Time and again in the Gospels and in our lives today, we seek after Jesus as a way to fix our lives. Jesus is our personal Savior, our superhero, we assume. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Only Jesus never intended to be a personal Savior. Jesus never wanted to feed only a few or even only 5,000. But Jesus came that the world might be fed, and fed not with food that is on our lips and in our bellies today and gone tomorrow into the sewer. Jesus came to feed us that we might feed each other. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. If you and I have eaten this bread, then that bread which is in us ought to send us into the world, that all the world might be fed. If Jesus can multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000, then Jesus will surely multiply the grace and goodness in each of us to feed a world that is hungry, starved, oppressed, marginalized, neglected, abused, forgotten. This is the bread of life that Jesus blesses us to be a blessing, that Jesus feeds us that we might feed the world, that Jesus gives himself away for the sake of the world, that we might have life, the life of the resurrected Christ reaching out in love to a world that is hungry for grace. Amen.